Greetings, Dale and John here, welcoming you to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting. This podcast is presented by the Energy Services Coalition and sponsored by the United States Department of Energy. Having completed the investment grade audit and project proposal, we now direct our attention to the next steps in the overall performance contracting process.
If you've been following along in our podcast series, some of our comments and suggestions in this episode may sound familiar, yet absolutely bear repeating for your consideration. Now, having received the completed IGA and project proposal, the owner performs its thorough review and decides the next steps to occur, whether to accept and move forward or not. The ESC model documents call for the parties to agree on a defined number of days for the owner's review to be completed and the decision to be made whether the owner wishes to move forward to project implementation.
And rightly so. You know, there are a number of variables that are impacted by time regarding the project proposal, including price protection for goods and services, and of course, the interest rate upon which the project financials rely. Both are subject to change by market and economic conditions and are likely only good for a short period of time. It is, of course, our strong recommendation that at each decision point along the path of developing the project, the owner and ESCO are in lockstep agreement about what is ultimately presented in the final products. This includes, but should not be limited to, the project's energy conservation measures, the methodologies by which the savings projections have been made, all the assumptions and operating agreements that impact those savings projections, and the methodology and engineering guiding the calculations in the measurement and verification plan to prove the guaranteed savings are achieved.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't remind you that there exists a small and growing number of experienced performance contracting third-party professionals who are ready, willing, and able to assist you in the necessary detailed level of review of all the nuances that performance contracting entails. The investment grade audit should be reviewed for accuracy, completeness, adherence to legislative and programmatic guidance, along with accepted engineering and applicable industry practices that align with what continues to result in great projects, that being best practices.
Well said, my friend. So next up, it's decision time, and options most definitely exist. While we, of course, always defer to the programs and contracts of your specific project, following the ESC model documents recommend that if for some reason the work of the IGA does not meet the documented requirements that the owner and the ESCO agree to in order to initiate the IGA, then, to quote a colloquialism, all bets are off. By that I mean the contractual terms of the IGA are not met, the parties, the owner and the ESCO, simply part ways with no further action required. No money changes hands. The work product of the IGA and the project proposal now belong to the owner.
Well, Dale, that situation has been known to happen, but fortunately, it's a rare occurrence. Far more typical, upon receipt of the IGA and project proposal, the owner performs a final review to ensure everything proposed is acceptable and as agreed to during the work of the IGA. If so, the model documents that we've consistently referenced provide a requirement that a form be signed by the owner documenting acceptance of the IGA and project proposal. The owner will execute the final acceptance form and request that the ESCO go about the work of completing the schedules, exhibits, and appendices that make up the Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contract. The cost for the ESCO to complete the IGA, as set in the IGA contract, is generally carried by the ESCO to the performance contract as a fee and is typically paid to the ESCO in their first project implementation invoice. In this fashion, even though the owner may have encumbered or earmarked funds for the IGA, they now don't need to spend them out of pocket. Instead, the IGA fee is incorporated into the project financing and is paid for by the savings of the project. Another alternative exists as well. If for some reason the IGA and project proposal do illustrate a proposed project that meets all documented and contractual terms, but the owner simply elects not to move ahead with the project implementation, then the owner is still obligated to directly pay the IGA fee to the ESCO.
You know, it's always helpful to keep in mind the big decision point options that exist in these contracts. For the most part, the formal acceptance of the IGA and project proposal and instruction to prepare the performance contract are the next steps of our overall process. The ESCO will now prepare the schedules of the performance contract, which are in effect specific sections of the work of the IGA formally separated into the GESPC contract schedules. Some care should be exhibited here to ensure that language of the contract schedules aligns precisely and accurately with what was agreed to and presented in the IGA and project proposal. Ultimately, while the IGA and project proposal and the project RFP and its response become part of the performance contract by reference, the performance contract schedules, exhibits, and appendices generally take precedence and identifying each party's contractual obligations.
And at the same time, the owner is now going to likely need to secure the final project financing agreement. In today's performance contracting state and local marketplaces, two significant legally binding instruments are prepared to be executed sequentially. First, the final contract, complete with its schedules, exhibits, and appendices, and for most projects, a separate third-party finance agreement. While this is generally a lease, a loan, or bond funds, or it may be a combination of them, the performance contract is reliant on the funding being established and in place nearly immediately after the execution of the GESPC contract. For most projects, all or part of the funds of the financing agreement are then placed into a form of escrow that the owner draws from to pay the ESCO for work completed and appropriately invoiced and approved.
Wow. If you think about where our podcast series has taken us, so far we've walked through considering whether a performance contract is right for you and how to prepare if it is, the model instruments to follow, how to choose an ESCO, and all the pieces and parts of developing an investment-grade audit and project proposal. Let's get those final contract documents assembled, the financing in place, and prepare for project implementation. Be sure to join us next time as we present our thoughts and suggestions for the construction of your performance contracting project. GESPCU. See you next time.